share just some thoughts with you that kind of stick right in line with this message. But in Luke chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 39, we're going to read through verse number 32. And then there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that we'll mention. But how important leadership is. You know, I've heard this saying, and this is so common in the corporate world, and they say everything rises or falls on leadership. And I've been around people whom they think that, you know, there is a type of leader, and they look for that type of leader. And it's odd the way that God, I guess, in my life has allowed me to be trained. And what I mean by that is, you know, you can go to Bible college. But I want to tell you something, folks. That's not where you're going to get your training for the ministry. And I'm going to tell you that as somebody who's been, okay? You're going to get your training from being around people of God. And I've been around people of God all my life. And I've seen all different kind of leaders. I've seen charismatic leaders. I've seen quiet leaders. But I want to talk a little bit about that and how important it is. You know, whether it be in a corporate environment or a church, and obviously we're going to talk about it in a church and even in our home, but how important leadership is. And the first thing I want to look at is how important it is to lead by example. And in St. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse number 39, it gives us some insight into that. When Jesus speaks a parable unto them, and he says, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." And that word perfect means mature. It says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how can thou say to thy brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye,' when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." You know, the first thing, and I'll say about leadership, is when you lead by example, it's a lot of responsibility. One thing I've learned in my home and my relationship with my wife and my relationship with my children, I have to lead by example, because I don't think it means very much for me to say to them, "Do as I say and not as I do." So you stop and you think about that for just a minute. But another thing in leading by example, it says you got to be able to see the beam or the mote that's in your own eye. Folks, we all have them. And even when I'm trying to lead in any capacity, no leader is perfect. Even the greatest ones that I've ever known, okay? First thing I want to talk about is the position of leadership. The position of leadership. And I want to talk about it in the home and in the church. And I want us to consider first the servant leader, which is a type of leader, and what the servant leader is. And I've got a statement here, so write it down statement, and that's why I've got it. And I picked this up actually out of a secular book. It says, "I want to be led by strong, natural servants that are willing to use whatever leadership style that best serves the needs of those they are leading." And I'll tell you what that means. When, you know, I've said before that the pastor is really just a servant. And I've said this, that as a church, we should minister to those that God sends to us, and we should have enough wisdom to recognize them. You know, a lot of churches do not have the mixture that we have here in this church. You know, they either got a bunch of young people or a bunch of older people, or they've got a lot of youth and no older people. This church has all of that. And that's something to be thankful for, and it's important for us to appreciate that. Folks, not every church has it, not every church appreciates it. But everybody's important. But when I look at this, it says to use whatever leadership style best serves the needs of those that are leading. It's this, and this is what it means. The servant leader recognizes that what he is doing is not about himself. Do you get that? In other words, he's looking at what God has prepared, and he's trying to be discerning and perceptive to lead in such a way that it's meeting the needs of the people that God has given him to minister to. It'd be futile for me to get up here and constantly, every Sunday, preach on the mission field and tell you that you're all called to the mission field, unless you're called to the mission field. You have to listen closely to the voice of God and let God lead you. And what I have to do is recognize what God has given and allow the Lord to be the leader. And a servant leader recognizes that leadership is not about himself. And I think that that's very important in any leadership role, but it's true, I think, in every leadership role. Now, the other leader to consider is the shepherd leader. And I want to read scripture out of John chapter number 10, just a little bit to give you some insight into this. And this is the Lord speaking to us. And the scripture says in verse number 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. And the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, the servant leader, he recognizes that what he is doing is not about himself. And the shepherd leader recognizes that what he is doing as a leader, he is doing it as a calling and not a hireling. You know, and what a hireling will do, and I've seen this happen before, and it's unfortunate but true, and I've seen it in churches. A guy will take a church, and he's got a certain package that they offer him at that church. This is what they pay him, this is his benefit, and this is what he gets. It's not long till he feels the call of God to take him somewhere else. But when you find out about it, well, they're going to double his salary. They're going to do this, and they're going to do that. Folks, I want to tell you, if a preacher is doing this for the money, he's doing it for the wrong reason. Now, that don't mean that he don't have to live, okay? A whole different subject. But Jesus said what? He was the perfect example of a shepherd leader. He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." See, the truth is, if they come for the money, they'll leave for the money. And as I was studying this, I thought about one particular pastor of a church, and he gets up in front of his church, and I actually had one of these guys that went to my church, and he would tell me, you know, how much he give to the church and how much he give to the pastor. And folks, how people give that way, we'd have a building in 6 months, okay? And we just would. But he'd get up before the church, the pastor, and he told them, you know, "I believe God wants me to have an airplane." Wasn't long we had an airplane. He got on the radio not long after that, and he was talking. He said, "I believe God may want me to have a space shuttle." He said, "I just want y'all to get ready." Can I tell you that it's not about the leader? A shepherd leader, he has a calling, and he has a love in his heart for what he's doing. He recognizes that it is service that he is doing for God first. And what that allows him to do is it allows him to love the people of God in truth, sometimes, whether he feels like they love him or not. It is a commitment that is deeper seated than even the work that he is doing because of the personal relationship with God. It's important to understand, and if you really just kind of take it and look at it in your relationship and in your own home, why do we do the things that we do? We do them because we love those that are around us, okay? So I want us to look at the purpose of leadership. What is the purpose of leadership? Well, obviously, very simply, the purpose of leadership is to lead, okay? We kind of had a meeting the other day, and, you know, things around our place at work, folks, it's been busy. It's been so busy, I thought about that scripture. I can remember it seemed like just a short time ago that I took a white piece of paper and I folded it in half, and I got it ready so I could tape it up on top of my printer. And I wrote on that paper 153. And what I was doing is I was thinking about that Bible verse where Peter was in the boat and they were fishing in the boat and they had caught no fish and the Lord was on the shore and he told them to cast the net on the right side and you shall find. And they cast the net on the right side and in all this they caught 153. Now I'll tell you what that meant to me. I was asking God to put fish in the net. We need work. And we needed more work than we have. Well, now here's the other problem now. Folks, the net's full. And it's so full that you know the rest of that story. It said they had 153, and then it said that the net did not break. Now, folks, I'm not praying for fish. I'm praying that the net does not break. But we were talking about the difficulties. Something came up about my boss and his boss. And I just looked at him and I said, everybody reports to somebody. Y'all realize that? Everybody reports to somebody. And our responsibility in the position that we're in, if God's given you the ability to do anything, is to help others get to the place that they need to get to. It's to lead, it is to influence, and ultimately it is to help. Now, I had this outlined and I added something to it today, which is the problem of leadership. We went today out to lunch. And if you have prayed for patience, I want to tell you how to be tried. It's take 12 people to a restaurant on Sunday. Just take them in there and, you know, here's what they told me. They said, we checked around, we went to 3 different restaurants, and we got the one with the shortest wait. Well, you know, I got meetings after church. I met with people, and, you know, we were late leaving, and when we got there, and I thought, oh, they'll be at a table. I said, just order me water. I thought I'd walk in, I'd sit down. We got there, we still waited an hour. And I'm looking around, and I walked over after a certain period of time, and there was an older gentleman, and I say older, just not a teenager, okay? And he was standing there at the podium, and I said, are you the manager? And he said, yes, sir. And I began to talk to him, and he showed me. He said, I had a party of 17 and a party of 12 and a party of 15. And I said, yes, sir. I said, I sure was wanting to know where we're at, what's going on. I said, we're getting to the point that we're running out of time. And we're not even going to have time to do the other things that we need to do if we don't, you know, get to moving here. And he explained to me, he said, well, you know, y'all came in, but they seated this one first, and they put this one over there, and they did this before they did that. And then he looked at me, and no offense, young people. He said, but I'm dealing with 17-year-olds. And as I looked at him and I listened, and I thought about this, remember, the corporate saying, everything rises or falls on leadership. And I want to ask you a question. Does it mean that everything will always go right? Absolutely not. Does it mean that there will never be problems? Absolutely not. You see, you could be an excellent leader and you could have knowledge and you could have skill and you can have ability. But folks, there are going to be times when what you've got to do, and I've heard this before, is take the rope that you're hanging on by and tie a knot in it. And hang on. And as I listened to him and I thought of what he said, and I thought of how important it was as a leader that he take those skills as a leader and those young people that were under him and that he teach them what they need to know so that they can move forward. Folks, that's important. That's important in a church. It's important in a home. It's going to be important when you go to work tomorrow. And as I begin to think about it, and I thought about people, how people are. You know how people are. First time there's a problem and there's anything that goes wrong, you know what they're going to say? Well, they're going to fill the blank in. Well, it's so-and-so's fault. So-and-so didn't do what they're supposed to do. So-and-so didn't handle it right. So-and-so didn't pray about it. So-and-so didn't wait on the Lord. So-and-so didn't do this, so-and-so didn't do that. I want to give you a verse of scripture in John chapter number 6 and verse number 70. Now, if you start thinking about leadership for just a minute, who are the leaders of the New Testament that were the greatest leaders of all time? Well, first one was Jesus. Second one is Paul. But I want you to understand some things about both of them and what they experienced. Because Jesus chose 12. And if you look at what he said in this scripture, chapter 6 and verse 70, he says, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." Now, when we think about that for just a minute, and you know it was done all through the scripture, they looked at Jesus and they accused him. Remember the time that he was in the Pharisee's house and the woman came in and she washed his feet with her tears and dries them with her hair, and the old guy stood over her and he pointed at Jesus and he said if he knew who she was, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. How many times did they question Jesus? He ate and he drank with publicans and sinners. How many times did they come and they bring ridicule against him when in reality what he was doing is exactly what I've already described, is he was a servant leader, he was a shepherd leader, he was seeking to lead, he was seeking to influence, he was seeking to help, and when he went to these places, I'll tell you that things didn't always go exactly the way that they wanted them to go. But he was still the greatest leader that ever lived. See, sometimes when it gets very difficult, that's when the greatest leaders shine the most. Another example is Paul. You remember Paul, and Paul called by God, and he went on the first missionary journeys, and he's in one of these first journeys as he goes, and he takes John Mark with him. They get out there, and John Mark, it's just more than he can, basically more than he can carry. It's too much for him. And John Mark turns and he wants to come back. Well, when they attempt to go again, Paul and Barnabas are there. And Barnabas, his name basically means comforter or encourager. He said, let's bring Mark with us. Now, isn't Paul the greatest leader of the New Testament other than Jesus? We don't talk about Barnabas, we talk about Paul. But what did Paul say? He said, no, we're not taking Mark. Because the last time we went out and he went with us, you remember that he quit. So we're done with him. I want to tell you that sometimes great leaders still have to learn. So here's Barnabas, and he looks at Paul, and the division was so strong amongst them that Paul and Barnabas did not even go out together. Why? Because it's just like that manager at this restaurant, and he made that comment, and what he was saying, I understood, but the responsibility of leadership means I'm going to take these that God's given me, and I'm going to do what I can to help them. And that's exactly what Barnabas did. He went and got John Mark, and he took him with him, and he ministered to him. Now, folks, I want to tell you that the mark of the New Testament, that's him. And we can even learn that Paul learned great things about him, because if you go over and read when Paul was in prison, he said this about Mark. He said, and bring Mark, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry. You see, sometimes in leadership, what we should do is our part and wait on God to do his. Barnabas was just obedient to God. God is the one who restored and rebuilt Mark's life. See, sometimes in leadership, you can pour yourselves into people, and it doesn't always go the way you want it to. Paul had two little preacher boys. One of them's name was Timothy. The other one's name was Titus. And there are books about them in the Word of God. And I believe that God, especially based on what I read, he used Titus and he used Timothy. But there's also another verse where Paul mentions one, his name was Demas. And he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, sometimes things don't always go the way that you want them to go, but you still, what you have to do as a leader is be faithful. The verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2 that we mentioned this morning, it says, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. So you got to be faithful. As I begin to think about this and the problem of leadership, I even thought about the great leaders of the Old Testament. Who was a great leader of the Old Testament? One was Moses. You read about Moses and you look at his life, and when he was over there and God called him, and he's like a lot of us do, he's arguing with God. He's saying, God, I can't go, I can't speak well. And you find that, you can read some things in the book of Isaiah and some things in the book of Jeremiah, and you see how God dealt with them and how their abilities and what they thought they had, they didn't think it was enough. And Moses is arguing with God, I can't speak well. And God says, all right, you can take your brother. He can go with you, but you're going. Moses gets over there and God's using him. He's led the children of Israel out. And they're out and they're blessed and they're headed to the place that God's going to bless them. And he goes up on the mountain and God gives him the Ten Commandments. And he comes back down from the mountain and he's holding them in his hand. And he was gone for a period of time communing with the Lord. Now folks, sometimes it don't have to be that long. We could think about it and we think it's years, it's months. It might have just been a short period of time. But when he comes down, what had happened is all the people had gathered their earrings and they had given them to Aaron and they had formed an idol and they had set it up and they had begun to worship it. And when Moses, he's the leader, what did he say? I can't do it by myself. So God said, all right, I'm going to let you have your brother to go with you. So here's Aaron, the brother that went with him because he had to have him. And he's listened to the people, and they built a statue out of gold. And they are there, and they're worshiping it. And what does Moses do when he comes down? He sees the people. He throws the tablets down, and he breaks them. You see, there's some problems in the leadership, but sometimes even great leaders go through struggles. We were up at camp, and one of the gentlemen up there, he made the comment that he used to be a pastor. Of course, I just listened to what he said, and this is the comment that he made. Real quickly, he said, I really enjoyed working to bring people together. Do you understand that? Anything you do in a church, you've got to work to bring people together. Let's go back and look at the points. A servant, a shepherd, to lead, to help, to influence. Folks, there are going to be some issues. If I were to start saying, all right, now, folks, I really feel like we need to paint the church. I'm going to give all you ladies a color chart. Now, I know that was a joke, but y'all thought it was funny. Do you understand how sometimes the littlest things can become so big when we lose sight of what's really most important? And what we need to understand is everything we're doing as a servant, as a shepherd, leading, it's really ultimately for the honor and glory of God. It's to bring honor and glory to Him. It's to fulfill His purpose. It's to do His work. But sometimes there are problems with leadership. But all you have to do is look at the best examples and you realize the greatest examples we have dealt with those things. Now let's look at the power of leadership. And a question here, how are you influencing? How are you influencing people? And I will tell you this, and I believe this, and I think this is very important when you look at the ministries of the church. It's important when we look at Awana. It's important when we look at the youth. It's important when we look at Sunday morning service. It's important when we look at the preaching, no matter who the preacher is. Folks, I want to tell you something. It don't matter who comes in here. If we don't pray and seek God and the Holy Spirit don't move, it takes God. But I've heard it said, and I believe that it's true, that people may not remember the words that you say, but they will never forget how you treat them. Think about that. And by the same token, here's the question, who wants what you are offering? You ever thought about that? I've had some issues at work, and we got some people at work that are Christians. We got some that are very dogmatic. We had some guys working in our building that were part of a church that was in the news. It was in the news a lot. Because they'd go down to the parking lot at Walmart And they'd get dolls, and they'd hold them, and they'd put ketchup on them, and they'd scream at people, and they'd hold up signs, and they'd see a lady walking into Walmart with a pair of pants on, and they'd jump on her and start screaming at her, and they're screaming at people. I pulled up to the parking lot, and they go to screaming at me. I just look at them and smile. They point their finger at me, telling me I'm going to hell and this, that, and the other. I just look at them. And I had a couple of those guys that worked with us, and they were doing some things, and I had to talk to them. And here's what I asked them when I sat down, and I looked across the table. I said, who would want what you got? When you're trying to lead somebody, you're trying to minister to somebody, that's a question we can ask ourselves. When we come into this church and we're ministering to people and we're trying to reach out to the community, we're trying to get people to be a part of this body, we're trying to get people to serve the Lord with us, who'd want what we got? Are we demonstrating something to people that when they see it, they'd say, I want that in my life? Do you demonstrate enough joy of the Lord that somebody'd want what you got? Or do people look at you and they say, well, I don't want what you got because what it's done to you. You see, the power of leadership is tremendous. But it's very simple. And the first place it begins is in the present and in you. Because every person in this church tonight, every person, no one can take your place. No one. And I believe that with all my heart. You know, sometimes what we need to understand what it means to when we look at the body of Christ and all the parts fitly joined together. Every person in the church has such a valuable place, no matter who you are, that nobody can take your place. I'll tell you, sometimes on Sunday morning, I go right over there in that corner. And I'm standing over there until the first song is sung and Brother Keith motions for me. And I tell you what I'm doing. I'm looking through this church. And I'm seeing who's here and I'm seeing who's not. And I'm wondering where they're at. Sometimes I think, well, they're on vacation. Sometimes they're here or sometimes they're there. But you know, I'm thinking. And I'm praying because I know generally where people sit. And I want to tell you something. Nobody, nowhere in God's work can take your place. Not just to come and fill a pew, because you're more than that. Amen. You're the child of God, you're the children of God, and if you don't do anything, and sometimes when I'm preaching, not everybody smiles at me. Some people do. And I look for those that do. And here's not only can nobody else take your place, but nobody can do what God has for you to do. Nobody. This morning, we had a group of visitors here at the church, and I'm glad that they were here, but they were invited to come by somebody that wasn't even here this morning. Now, it's not because they say, hey, go to church. I don't go, but you go. It wasn't like that. That person invited them to come is off serving and ministering in another place because they're involved with a ministry that carries them a lot of places. But because they had enough confidence in this church and in this place, they invited them to come. Can I tell you that the person you're going to run into this week, that God's going to show you who they are, nobody else can take your place when you speak to them. Nobody else can hand them a flyer and invite them to any of our services or the things that are going on. Nobody else will be able to listen. Can I tell you that a lot of times all leadership is listening? The power of leadership is in the present. It's also in the future. Now, I mentioned before that a lot of times people may not remember the words you say, but they'll remember how you'll be treated. That's why mentoring is important. Now, folks, I like Awana. I like the memory verses. But I'll tell you something that's more important to me than memorizing a verse is being mentored. Okay? It's having a leader that when you get older in your life and you look back on them, you say, that person helped me. That person was a blessing to me. You know, I hate to say this, but here's the exact opposite of what I would hope to see in a leader. Kendra and I went to the same high school, but we graduated 5 years apart. And we both had a teacher. I'm not going to mention his name. He's already passed on. But we both had a teacher that when we talk about him, and the way he was in class, it's almost detestable to both of us, the kind of person he was. The character he had, the comments he would make. The trouble is, he claimed to be a Christian. He was a member of some church in Douglasville, but I don't tell you, he wasn't any kind of leader. In fact, he was the opposite of everything that a leader would be. And here I am at 50 years old, and I still remember the impact that he had on my life. But by the same token, we can think of those who were different. Those who we honestly believe cared, and that's all it takes, by the way. That's all it takes, is honestly caring and honestly listening and honestly being willing. Sometimes as you listen, that you're just being a servant. There's a verse in Ezekiel chapter number 7, in verse number 7, the latter part of the verse, that talks about, and it's just a short pull out from this verse, that talks about the sounding again of the mountains. And what that is the echo. And folks, that echo is what I'm talking about. It's being able to hear and remember. And although, you know, we think of those that were negative in our life, I also think of those that are positive. I think of the times that I were around men of God, those teachers that are greater than any Bible study course that I could ever take. And some of the things that they said to me. I can remember one time being down at Clay Road Baptist Church when Harold Lowry was the pastor. Harold Lowry was a man of God. He was a man that had a tremendous influence, a tremendous work. And one thing that I learned from Harold Lowry is what it means to love God's people. And I was a young preacher, and I'm talking about 18, 19 years old. And when you're that age, I mean, somebody say something, my ears get big as Dumbo. I was in church, and he made a comment one time. He said, I can tell a lot about a young preacher, and my ears went, whoop. And then he said, by how much he loves the church. And I got it. Because not everybody does. But I want to tell you, years later in my life, I remember that. You know, I've been in church. My dad, I've said it before, he was the greatest man I've ever known. He was a preacher. But I honestly cannot tell you a lot of sermons that he preached. But I can tell you the impact he had on my life. I can tell you what it was like to work with him and to see him. Remember what I said about leaders? Sometimes leaders face problems. I can tell you what I learned by watching him as a leader. And he was a leader my whole life. Even though, folks, listen, he did not even finish the eighth grade. He was a leader. And he was a man of God. And my dad was a servant leader. And he was also a shepherd leader. I seen him walk through fire. I seen him go through struggles. And I heard Pastor Garland Odom, who came and preached here just a few months ago, and he was talking about what it was like to fight the battles in the ministry and to be serving God. And he used this term, like he said, charging hell with a water pistol. You just got to be faithful. And you got to stand. And when I think back on some of the things that I learned from my dad, there is an echo. It's like almost I can be in a situation in my life and the mentoring comes back. That's why I say that the words that we say and the things we do as a leader have so much to do with how we treat each other. So it's in the present, it's in the future, and sometimes it can be for good or it can be for bad. So you can lead in the wrong way. Ephesians 6:4, there's a verse that says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And here's the thing that I think is very important for me as I look at this verse. I don't want my children to learn anything from me that's going to hurt them or cause them in their life to dishonor God. You know, there used to be a commercial that came on Channel 17, and this commercial is probably 25 years ago. This channel didn't even exist anymore. But it had a father storming into his son's bedroom, and he had a box full of paraphernalia for drugs. It was like something I would suppose that would be used to smoke marijuana or to do some type of drug. And he was scolding his son, and he said, "Son, where did you get this?" And the boy just raised his head, and he said, "I got it from watching you." Now, folks, I want to tell you, as leadership, Sometimes in my training as a minister, and I've heard Pastor Garland Odom, the same pastor I mentioned a while ago, mention this. He said he believes it takes God 20 years to fashion a man. God has put me in places to where I wanted him to give me a mentor. In other words, you go to the church. I've been to church before where I went to the pastor. And I said, you know, here's where I'm at, and I believe God wants me to learn. He wants me to have a mentor. And I went and I talked to a particular pastor one time. And as he listened to me, he didn't really reach out to mentor me. And as I was in that place, and I began to question why God had me there, and it's almost like the things that I was learning was the things not to do. You get that? You see, some preachers or some leaders use the pulpit all too often for their own good. They're demagogues. And here's what they do. They'll preach a message in an effort to push a people into a certain direction because that's the direction they want them to go. An example of that, and I've seen this happen, is you'll have a church, and the church will be growing. They build a Christian school, and they attach it to the church. And it's not long till every time the pastor gets in the pulpit, he tells people that if they're not right, they're not right with God if the kids are not in the Christian school. All I can do to keep them hitting him with my shoes. And I'm just being honest. See, you can lead in the right way or you can lead in the wrong way. That's why sometimes, doesn't the scripture teach us that unto whomsoever much is given, much is required of them? When I look at my responsibility as a father and as a husband and as a preacher in this church, go back to point number one. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. And then here's one, and we'll try to close in a few minutes. When you're a leader, there is tremendous power in leadership. A leader needs to know when to be a lion and when to be a lamb. Now think about this one for just a minute. If you've ever raised children, if you've ever been in a situation to where you're trying to work with people, you got to know when to pick your battles. Some things really matter and they really need to be stood for. But folks, some things are really just not worth fighting about. Now think about that. You see, sometimes a man in his home, if he's the spiritual leader of the home, whether anyone likes it or not, sometimes he's got to be a lion. And he's got to hold firm and say, this is the way it's going to be. And I think a father ought to do this. We're not allowing that in our house. I think you got to know when to be a lion, but you also need to know when to be a lamb. You see, because sometimes what people do calling themselves a lion, they're doing it based on tradition or what somebody else done, and they have very little discernment associated with it. Because one thing I've learned raising children, and every one of mine are different. And you know, when I'm dealing with people, they're all different. And when I'm asking people questions and I get different answers. But you got to know when to do that. And then the last is the potential of leadership. Do you know that leadership can affect the rest of somebody's life? Now, I don't know if you realize that as a Sunday school teacher or as an Awana leader or as a deacon just calling a family. What you do can have an effect on the rest of somebody's life. And I'll tell you a quick story and then I'll close. One of the classes I took in school was called the Seven Laws of the Learner. And they took every word and they made an acrostic and they talked about it. But here's the whole gist of the message. Is you're not teaching anybody anything if they're not doing what you're teaching them. In other words, the seven laws of the learner talk about teaching people is that they learn. But you know that they've learned by what they do. And he gave an example, and I listened. The class that I took was actually taught by David Wilkerson, who wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez. And as he was teaching the class, he told the story. Remember the echo, the impact of a leader. And he said he was in school, and while he was in school, he was going to deliberately do an experiment on his teacher. He said this man had passion, but I want to tell you, David Wilkerson's called by God, okay? He also has passion. He said, as a student, I sat in my teacher's class knowing how passionate he was, and I deliberately turned as he was teaching, and I looked out the window. He said, now I was looking out the window rather than looking at him, but I heard every word that he said. He said he got louder and he came over to the side of the room where I was at. And before you know it, he said he was right in my face. Because, not because he was upset that I wasn't paying attention as a matter of disrespect, but he was so driven to teach. And he cared so much about his students that he wanted them fully engaged. He understood, and I want to tell you two things about that. David Wilkerson was impacted by that man because he had written these two Bible classes. One is the Seven Laws of the Learner. The other is the Seven Laws of the Teacher. But it impacted him that how important it is that you as an individual recognize your potential for leadership and the impact that you in your life can potentially have on somebody else. Because a Sunday school teacher or an Awana teacher in your class, you could have a future pastor. You could have a future missionary. You could have a future teacher. And it's a privilege that God gives us. Why? Because we're just passing the baton. Okay? But it also, most importantly, it can have an eternal impact. In other words, by you being obedient as a leader, or me being obedient as a leader, we can change somebody's life eternally. Not just today, not just in the instant, or not just in a moment, but eternally. That's what you can do. And that's just the things that was on my heart tonight. I want to talk about leadership.